It's about 13 seconds after the hour. Today's Tuesday, the 22nd of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon. This afternoon, we're going to be learning a little bit more about Hold These Truths, the most recently opened play at Perseverance Theater. Lauren Anderson will be here from the Treadwell Ice Arena to highlight the annual turkey bowling. Davida Ryder, Juno Artist Gallery featured artist for December, will be here. And from the Juno School District, the Gastineau Elementary School principal, Brenda Edwards, will be here to talk about Gastineau Kindness Crew activities. In addition, of course, to Bird Note, Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac, and other stuff. So stay tuned here after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Members of the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council is calling on law enforcement in North Dakota to end what they say is excessive use of force on people opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. The council, which includes EMTs, doctors, nurses, midwives, and mental health professionals, responded to an incident on a bridge Sunday where people were hosed down in freezing temperatures by law enforcement, as well as reports of tear gas and rubber bullets used on demonstrators. The medic and healer group identified around 300 injuries, which included more than two dozen seriously injured people who were transferred to three area hospitals.
We are asking them to stand down and allow water protectors to practice their First Amendment rights.
Linda Black Elk is with the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council. The council helps coordinate medical facilities at camps in the area and has been serving people since the summer. She describes what the medic group helped respond to on Sunday.
There were literally people standing and praying who very suddenly and swiftly got doused with freezing cold water in sub-freezing temperatures. People who were praying who got doused with tear gas. People standing and praying who had concussion grenades lobbed at them, people who were shot by rubber bullets. We had a number of broken bone injuries due to rubber bullets. This is a pattern of continued and escalated violence on the part of North Dakota state law enforcement that needs to stop.
During a press conference Monday, the Martin County Sheriff's Department says it was unaware of reports of people hospitalized. The Sheriff's Department says the use of water was used to maintain control and law and order in the area. Law enforcement officials say hoses were used on people after a rock was thrown at officers. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has continually called for peace and for President Obama to stop the project. A South Dakota-based Native American food company has been recognized as a certified B Corporation by B Lab. The nonprofit organization judges businesses on how they benefit their workers, their communities, and beyond. Jim Ken spoke with the president of Native American Natural Foods about the company's designation and has this report.
Native American Natural Foods is based in the Pine Ridge Reservation village of Kyle. Since it created the buffalo meat and cranberry health snack, Tonka Bar, in 2007, it's become a nationally recognized leader in the natural foods field. Mark Tilson is president and co-founder of the company. Tilson says that B-Lab was founded several years ago with a particular purpose in mind.
With the idea of creating a criteria for the consumer to be able to tell the difference between a company that says it's doing good for the community and one that really is. You know, we have certified organic, and now we have a corporation certification that's best for the community and best for the world.
B-Lab judges companies in a variety of areas, says Tilson.
Both from how you treat your employees, how you treat the environment, and in our case, because it's agriculture, how you treat the animals and the environment that you work with.
Sandra Marker is coordinator of the sustainability program at Black Hills State University. She says businesses that are B Corporation certified are finding that it's benefiting their sales, but it's not just about money.
If you want to make healthier communities, if you want people to be happy, if you want cultural relationships to grow, human relationships to grow, then you have to focus on more than just the bottom line.
Marker says she sees Native American Natural Foods as a beacon for what other companies across South Dakota can do with their businesses. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 6th annual Striking Eagle Basketball Tournament and Education Fair beginning December 28th. Information on the event and services at siabq.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And it's about 6 minutes after the hour. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juneau Afternoon. And we're going to review some public service announcements here and then listen to a little music before we get to our first guests. The Alaska Positive exhibit has opened at the Father Andrew P. Keshavarov Building, the Alaska State Museum, and it will run through the 21st of January before going on a statewide tour. It's a juried photographic exhibit, a biennial series meant to encourage photography as an art form on the last frontier. So that is just adjacent to the station here in downtown Juneau. Go and check out Alaska Positive. There will be a panel discussion on renewable heating alternatives sponsored by the Juneau Commission on Sustainability and the Juneau Economic Development Council. And this panel discussion, Renewable Heating Alternatives for Juneau, will take place next Tuesday, the 29th of November, in the chambers, Assembly Chambers at City Hall at 5:30. It's part of a series of forums that began earlier this year in the summer on energy topics as part of the City and Borough of Juneau's consideration of a draft energy plan. And it offers an opportunity to learn about large and small-scale ground and air source heat pumps, wood pellet systems, and other things that can be used as alternatives to traditional hydrocarbon-based sources of heat, which, as it's been cold lately, is a timely topic. There are, of course, people in our community that are not well-positioned to provide for a Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, and it's possible to sign up for some assistance by calling the Glory Hole at 586-4159. Also, if people want to contribute items to go into Thanksgiving boxes, they can be dropped off at the Glory Hole. The Glory Hole also will always accept cash donations. And there's a website, feedjuneau.org is a good place to go and learn more about how you might make some charitable contributions in this holiday season if you want to make sure others have as wonderful a day as possible on Thursday. And finally, the American Red Cross is installing free smoke alarms through the Home Fire Campaign. Across America, about 8 people lose their lives each day from home fires. And in addition to having a plan, the best protection you and your family can have is working smoke alarms. So if you're interested in a new smoke alarm or perhaps replacing one that may not be working, you can contact Kate Pfeiffer at the American Red Cross at 209-1329. And we're going to listen to a little music here, and then we'll be back with a Juneau Afternoon and our first guest this Tuesday, the 22nd of November. Thank you. It's about 15 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of November. This is a Juno Afternoon. That was Jason Vio and Julian Lebrow, a disc called Infusion, and a piece called Antonia, composed by Pat Metheny. Some calming music on this calm Tuesday Juno Afternoon. So our first guest today is Lauren Anderson, who's the manager of the Treadwell Ice Arena. And welcome to a Juno Afternoon, Lauren.
Thanks, Ben.
And we're going to talk about things that are happening over in Treadwell as the holiday week gets going. So what are we looking forward to first and foremost? I think it involves turkey.
It does. It's our annual turkey bowling. It's our 11th annual turkey bowling. And we also add the disco ball to the event, which is always fun. So it's our regular open skate. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock tomorrow, Wednesday, November 23rd.
That's right.
And basically, we have our open skate, and people sign up first come, first serve, and they bowl one frame. So they have the two chances with the turkey. We have turkeys donated by IGA. We're really excited. And for the younger, smaller skaters, we have a game hen that they roll with, and we have plastic bowling pins and the turkey to bowl with.
And I'm going to assume, in addition to being used as a projectile, these turkeys and game hens are productively put to culinary use later on.
They absolutely are. We always donate them. There's always an individual or a family that is interested, and they're frozen, and we keep them frozen. And so they won't be ready for Thanksgiving, but they are definitely something that someone can enjoy between now and Christmas.
And this is the 11th annual turkey bowling.
It is. Yeah, we're really excited. The rink has been open since February of 2003, so we've been doing the turkey bowling almost as long as the rink's been open.
That's great. What sort of numbers do you usually see at turkey bowling?
It varies. Every year, we never know how many to expect. And so we're hoping this year we get a good turnout. We want to be sure everybody has a chance to bowl, and we've always been able to provide that. We basically just kind of put together a lane between the two top circles right when you go into the rink and cone it off, and that's where our bowling alley. And then everyone else can be skating and kind of chime in and cheer people on. And so we're hoping for 40 to 50 skaters this year. You must be on ice skates to bowl, and admission is regular admission, $6 for an adult, $5 for youth. And this year, if you bring in canned food, then your skate rental is free.
And that, of course, is also going to go help make sure people are well-fed on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Excellent. So that's the 11th annual turkey bowling over at the Treadwell Ice Arena tomorrow at 6:30. There's no advance reservations. You just want to show up and get there and sign up and first come, first serve.
That's right.
What else are we looking forward to at the Ice Arena this week?
Well, we'll be closed for Thanksgiving, but on Friday we'll reopen later in the afternoon, and our normal schedule, with it, which is the Juno Skating Club and basic skills lessons, learn to skate lessons, will be going on in the evening. And then right after the skating lessons is our annual Santa skate. So Santa will be at the arena. We're really excited. And that's from 7:45 to 9 o'clock. And this is free for all ages, thanks to the Douglas 4th of July Committee. They sponsor this event, and this will be right after the tree lighting at the Methodist Church.
And that's just right there in downtown Douglas, of course.
Yep. And you can just walk down to the arena right after the tree lighting and come and skate with Santa.
Excellent. So a couple of fun, festive holiday events over at the Treadwell Ice Arena this week. Anything else coming up now that winter seems to be well and truly upon us that you'd like listeners to know about?
Well, you know, if you're new to the area, the Treadwell Arena is a great place to come and skate. We have designated times for open skating. There's also freestyle, which is for figure skaters. Stick and puck and pond hockey, those are drop-in hockey times. Stick and puck is for those that might just want to practice a little bit. There's no gameplay, but pond hockey is where we have gameplay. And right now we're in a transition, so there is some youth hockey, but that'll kind of calm down later in December. And the adult hockey is just starting up what they call their Jamboree holiday season, and it's just a short couple of weeks, and you just register online. And the skating club is currently doing their lessons, and they will have their show on December 11th from 3 to 4, so there'll be more information about that. So we encourage you to come skating at Treadwell Arena. We have great events. Come check out our schedule, treadwellarena.org. Give us a call, 586-0410, and we hope to see you out on the ice, hopefully tomorrow for turkey bowling or Friday with Santa.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Lauren Anderson, manager of the Treadwell Ice Arena, for sharing the information about these upcoming events. And I also wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, and hope you have lots of folks there bowling and having a good time as the weekend comes upon us.
Thank you very much.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Instructions to all persons of Japanese ancestry.
That all men are created equal.
Both alien and non-alien.
Endowed with certain unalienable rights.
Will be evacuated from the following areas by 12 noon.
Dad first said it to me. The nail that sticks out is the one that gets hit. Hold These Truths by Jeannie Sakata is the story of Gordon Hirabayashi and his 60-year fight to stand up to power and discrimination. See it at Perseverance Theater, November 17th through December 4th. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, ptalaska.org, and 463-TIXS.
Due to the increasing air movement in the Mendenhall Valley, the city and borough of Juneau has canceled its air emergency effective immediately. The city would like to thank those residents affected by the air emergency for their cooperation.
Hello?
Hello, John Longenbaum.
Hey,
yes.
Hi.
How are you? Ben Brown here. It's about 21 minutes after the hour on a Juneau afternoon, and we are talking to you live from Observatory Books.
That's right, yeah. I'm down here at the Observatory Bookstore, which is, after 39 years, we are finally, sadly, closing our doors. So we're having a final kind of a goodbye to the store that runs all the way through this Saturday, and open special hours from 10 to 7 p.m. every day, except for Thanksgiving. We're going to take that off and, I don't know, maybe go bolt turkeys or something.
Well, I imagine you'll be spending some time with D. Longenbaum, renowned lover of books and maps, longtime contributor with her Alaskan Book Reviews to public radio here, and just an all-around great member of the community. So are there still just a ton and ton of books and maps left there?
There are indeed a ton and a ton of those things left. We have got special prices on everything for both the general stock and the maps and prints. And Dee's coming along most afternoons. She's around here for two or three hours. Loves to say hi to people when they drop by. And, it's been interesting. Over the years, on and off, since I was a teenager, I've run the bookstore a little bits here and there, when mom was out of town or whatever. But this has been really special for me to get a chance to just hear some of the wonderful stories of people who have dropped in and wanted to talk about it. I had a guy come in about 2 or 3 days ago and mentioned that he had originally gone to the bookstore when it was back in Sitka, when mom had first opened it up. And he said that they were talking, and he mentioned a book title to her and asked her if she had it, and she said no. And then he said 16 years later, he got a phone call asking if that was, if she said, I got that book in, would you like a copy? So that's my mom. She has been unstoppable as a force of book finding. And it's just been lovely seeing people from the community come in and just sort of see how much they've enjoyed and how much they value this space. It really has been, has given me a big case of the warm fuzzies and has just been so appreciated by the family. So
I'm trying to remember, I believe the first iteration of Observatory Books that I recall, it wasn't in Sitka, it was when the shop was in the space that is at the corner of 2nd and Franklin Streets.
Right, yeah. And it's been in three different spaces here in Juneau, and each time we've just moved up the road a little bit, which the advantage has been it's just been up the road a little bit. The disadvantage has been that has meant that it's all been picked up and moved box of books by box of books up the hill in sort of a human fire bucket chain. And so everyone who has been involved in moving the bookstore at one time or another has memories of it, and I can't say they're necessarily the fondest ones, but at the same time, it's been done three times, and it's sad that we're going to have to kind of finally close the doors on that.
But as you said, the sad thing for you as proprietors is actually kind of a silver lining for folks who might want to purchase some wonderful books or maps to add to their home collections. So, again, what would the time opportunities be for people to come by, perhaps CD, and certainly to look over all the inventory that's still there?
Sure, yeah. That's 10 to 7 every day, so I'll be here till 7 o'clock this evening, and that will be the same every day this week through Saturday. And we've just learned, you may have heard that there was a burglary and some maps and prints were stolen from the shop. Some of these have since been recovered, and we are now pulling those together to have a separate sale of just probably the maps and prints next month. But for now, we're not, the maps and prints are not being sold now, but books of all sorts are on, we're having a sale of all of those items on discounts, fairly deep discounts on the ones for in the back room that are the just general stock. And that's kind of everything. If you can think of a book, a topic, we probably have at least a couple books on that topic. So, and even if people just want to kind of come by and say hi to mom and sign the book and the rest, that's just as welcome. It's just been lovely seeing so many old familiar faces kind of come into town.
Well, excellent. So that's a great opportunity till 7 o'clock tonight, 10 to 7 tomorrow. Everyone has Thursday off for the Thanksgiving Day holiday, and then again on Friday and Saturday. So, personally, I will do my best to come by, but please give your best to my mom for me.
I will.
To your mom for me, sorry.
Well, and your mom, if you give me her number,
okay,
I'd be happy to do that.
I don't know if she's listening. She's been busy counting ballots since the election a couple weeks ago. So, John Loganbaugh, thank you so much for taking the time to do an interview with us, and I hope you get lots of visitors there at the Observatory Bookstore this week, and best wishes for a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks so much, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you as well.
Okay, bye now.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2016. It's the feast day of St. Cecilia, the patron saint of musicians. It's the birthday of the novelist George Eliot, born Marianne Evans in Warwickshire, England, 1819. She grew up near the city of Coventry, became friends with a group of radical intellectuals who debated religion and philosophy. She'd grown up in a conservative religious atmosphere, but she felt freed from it, and she moved to London to write. She fell in love with a married philosopher named George Henry Lewis, who was unable to get a divorce. And so in 1854, he and Marianne Evans moved in together, openly flaunting social conventions of the day. their male friends would still visit them, but they left their wives at home. Marianne Evans and George Henry Lewis lived together for 24 years until he died. 5 years after she moved in with him, she wrote her first novel, Adam Bede, which was a huge success. She wrote it under the pseudonym George Eliot, and there was speculation as to the identity of the writer. Finally, she admitted that she was, in fact, George Eliot, which caused even more of a stir. She kept writing. She wrote The Mill on the Floss, Silas Marner. Nothing quite matched the success of Adam Bede. She worried about this. She worked at a long, new book, was worried it would never sell. It came out in 1871, Middlemarch. It was a huge success and is considered her masterpiece. And it was about 12:30 p.m. on this day, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was fatally shot riding in a motorcade in Dallas. The Warren Commission published a report concluding that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in shooting the president, a conclusion that less than half of all Americans believe. Don DeLillo wrote in his novel Libra, "What has become unraveled since that afternoon in Dallas is the sense of a coherent reality most of us shared. We seem, from that moment, to have entered a world of randomness and ambiguity." Here's a poem for today by Thomas Moore, Oft in the Stilly Night. Oft in the stilly night, ere slumber's chain has bound me, fond memory brings the light of other days around me, the smiles, the tears of boyhood's years, the words of love then spoken, the eyes that shone, now dimmed and gone, the cheerful hearts, now broken. Thus, in the stilly night, ere slumber's chain has bound me, sad memory brings the light of other days around me. When I remember all the friends so linked together I've seen around me fall like leaves in wintry weather, I feel like one who treads alone some banquet hall deserted, whose lights are fled, whose garlands dead, and all but he departed. Thus, in the stilly night, ere slumber's chain has bound me, fond memory brings the light of other days around me. A poem by Thomas Moore, Oft in the Stilly Night. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, with a 10-minute fit test to calculate baseline scores and training programs with 50 challenging brain games. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by WordPress.com, where millions go to share their passions on personal and professional blogs. Now offering custom .blog domain names, WordPress.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 31 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today's Tuesday, the 22nd of November, and this is a Juno afternoon. And our next guest today is Davida Ryder, an artist who does art with the Juno Artist Gallery, but is also going to be the featured artist for the upcoming month of December. So, Davida, welcome to Juno afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
And why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe what got you into the kind of art that you create?
Well, I've been painting pretty much all my life since I was a child, but I've been painting professionally for about 25 years now, and 10 years of which I did large commissions, which included 50 murals and that many more originals, original oils, And so I became a member of Juno Artist Gallery about 3 years ago, maybe two and a half actually, and I love it. And we have about 22 members right now. We do have 22. We'll be losing one shortly, but we just got a new one. And so that's how it goes. We can always use new members. And I'm the chairperson for the new membership committee. So if you are interested, come on by the gallery and pick up an application. For the show in December, I'll be showing some new original oils in about 6 of the Juneau area. And also something that I started doing recently, which are my hand-enhanced giclées, some of which are miniatures. And they can be used as tree ornaments, so they can be hung on a wall. They've got little ribbons that hold them, hang them from, and I think they're quite nice myself. But
well, the one that you brought in to show me is very nice. It's a reproduction of your painting, November Sunrise, and it's a view of Mount Juneau. You can see the Federal Building and the Douglas Bridge. A lot of lovely, warm sunrise tones, which anyone who gets up early enough to see the sunrise over Gastineau Channel will recognize immediately. And it's on a sparkly little base, so they really are kind of nice for an ornament or a decoration in a window, perhaps.
Right. Well, thank you. So I'm reducing my prices also for the winter, just as a courtesy to the local people here. And I think that's all I've got on my notes.
Well, you're going to be the featured artist for December. And, of course, before we came on the air, we're discussing that's kind of a special spot to get because first Friday in December is an order of magnitude more intense and artistically rewarding in some ways than other first Fridays. So are you looking forward to that? Is it a little daunting? Because, I mean, a lot of people are going to be coming by the Juneau Artist Gallery.
Right. Well, I've had a lot of shows through the years, so it's always a little bit, you know, scary, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy being an artist, so I enjoy showing my work.
Now, you mentioned that you have the privilege of being the chair of the new member recruitment effort committee for the Juneau Artist Gallery. For listeners' benefit, maybe describe what's involved. Juneau's obviously a very arts-rich place, very high levels of artistic activity per capita.
Yes.
So there's a lot of individuals out there who are probably painting or making pottery or creating art on their own.
Right.
And it may not have ever occurred to them to join the Juneau Artist Gallery Cooperative. So maybe describe what some of the benefits might be for them, and if there are some things that need to be done to make it happen, what those are.
Right. Well, what we share as a co-op, we share all the responsibilities and privileges. So we take turns at the counter, being the salesperson for everybody who's represented in the gallery. We pay monthly rent on the space that we show our work. And my mind's going blank at the moment.
Well, those are the basics. I mean, obviously,
right.
This is an actual functioning gallery space in the Senate Building.
Right.
And
right.
So if someone wanted to become a member of the Artist Cooperative, what would they need to do? Would they have to audition, or what sort of strictures are involved with joining the group?
Right. First, you fill out an application, and the paperwork, you take it by the gallery, and I pick it up, and I go over it, and I have a committee that helps me do an interview with the prospective member. And we don't want to intimidate anybody, so we try to make it as friendly as possible in the interview. And if they have any questions, we answer them and we ask them questions. And then if they pass the interview, then the next step is a jurying process where the whole gallery membership gets to see the work and anonymously vote whether they think that the gallery would benefit from their work. And that sort of thing, and then we count up the ballots at the end, and we go from there. And then the person gets to choose how soon they want to become a member, and they have a you know, they have a fun time. There's responsibilities, like we encourage they attend a meeting once a month, every third Wednesday evening. And we encourage that they become involved in a committee of some sort, do some volunteer work, because, you know, we all share in it. And if everybody doesn't share to do their share, then there's just a handful that has to do too much, you know. And so it's a lot of fun. It's work, but it's a lot of fun. It's an opportunity to sell your work. The gallery takes a commission of only 15%.
And that goes, obviously, to help pay the rent and keep
right.
the lights on.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
So you said earlier that there were 22 members currently. You just lost someone, but someone had come on board. Is there a maximum size?
Well, it's maxed out when all the wall space is taken, floor space, we have some of them. So, you could say that. But we have room for several more. And when there is space, if there's not enough members to fill it up, then we count it as public space, and the design committee fills that space with a little smattering of everybody's work kind of thing. So the new member was Tom Meyer. He's the local potter that's been around for
ever.
A long time. Right, right. Tom Potts.
Yes. So I actually have a number of his pieces. I have a very treasured triangle coffee mug in the shape of a triangle that he made.
Oh.
And he has not made those for many a long year, so that's really exciting to know that Tom has joined the Juno Artist Gallery. That's great.
Yes, and he's starting. He'll have his work available for First Friday.
And so that's going to be 1 week from this Friday.
Exactly.
So what time do the festivities usually start there?
4:30.
Okay.
Through 7:30-ish, somewhere in there. 8 o'clock.
Of course, since it's December, there'll be crazy things going on all up and down Franklin Street and all over downtown, no doubt. So,
right.
Always a good idea to start out early at 4:30 and pace yourself.
Yes, yes. Some people start coming before 4:30.
Right, right. Early birders, they call those in other contexts.
Right.
Well, DeVita Ryder, thank you so much for coming on a Juno afternoon and for sharing in person these little giclées that represent some of your larger work. And listeners, you can go and see her show as the featured artist at the Juno Artist Gallery for the month of December. And if someone was interested in joining the cooperative, how would they go about getting in touch with you? Just, is there a number at the gallery they can call?
They can call the gallery and get my phone number that way. They can go by the gallery and get it and get an application right then and there. Or they can go online and look up JunoArtistGallery.com, and the application is on there too. And just to mention that my professional name is DeVita Stipek Ryder. Wouldn't you know it, make it longer than
I did see that on the name tag on the back of the giclée. So DeVita Stipek Ryder, thank you so much for joining us on a Juno afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was Carolyn Southworth, solo pianist from her disc By the Sea, a track called Reflections. And it's coming up on 45 minutes after the hour this Tuesday, the 22nd of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon, and it gives me great pleasure now to welcome Brenda Edwards, the principal of Gastineau Community School, and three of her fifth grade charges, Ryan, Myla, and Raina, who are officers of the Kindness Crew. So welcome to all of you to a Juno afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Now, other than that it sounds like a noble and kind thing, I don't know what the Kindness Crew is, so I hope you will help me learn more and tell me about it. Any of you who wishes to start, please go.
Go ahead, Mary.
Well, the Kindness Crew is pretty much a group of fifth graders or whatever grade that a school wants that helps inspire kindness in their school and community.
All right. Well, we all know that saying of practice random acts of kindness. This would take it kind of from a random level to a little more organized level. If there's a crew, then you're kind of making plans to go out and be kind. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And what's your favorite thing? What's your favorite act of kindness you've been able to inspire?
I think that my favorite one was the gratitude wall, where we had a school assembly where we'd all have things in our classes that we were thankful for, and we'd say them out loud, or like some classes thankful for, and then they'd say, thank you, Holmes, or whatever it is.
And what were you particularly thankful for?
I was thankful for a roof over my head and food.
And those are obviously good things to be thankful for, and not everyone in the world or even here in Juneau has them, so we don't want to take those for granted. How about you, Raina? What are your thoughts about the Kindness Crew?
Well,
The school challenge.
Okay. Yeah, tell us a little bit about the school challenge.
First we had just kindness, and then we had the gratitude wall, and then we had the family. Well, next is the family.
Okay.
So we're just finishing up the gratitude wall right now.
And where is the gratitude wall a physical location at Gastineau Community School?
Yes.
And if people wanted to see it, they'd probably have to check in at the office first, like you always do when you go to school.
Absolutely. Yes, and anyone is welcome.
Okay, but that's good to know, because it is accessible to the public as long as you go through the proper protocols.
You're correct.
Well, to get back to what you said was upcoming, Raina, or Ryan or Myla, any of the three of you, what's the family component to the Kindness Crew project? I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about that.
So I'll talk just a little bit about the basics of the crew. So like you said, we decided to give this opportunity to our fifth grade students because we had a kindness challenge last year that went really well. So we wanted to expand it to the whole school year. The wonderful thing about the Kindness Crew and the challenges that we present to the school are that they are student-led and student-driven. So we have my school counselor, Deb Spencer, and I, we're kind of their advisors, so we help them run their meetings, but they meet every week, so they give up their lunch and recess every week to talk about the challenges and to talk about how things are going and things that we need to change. So it's completely student-led with a little bit of adult support.
And I guess the idea there being is if it was easy to be kind all the time and no one was ever in a bad mood or wanted to do something that wasn't kind, this wouldn't be necessary, but human nature is in that way, right? Sometimes bad things happen to us, and we kind of maybe want to be mean to somebody else sometimes. And I guess we're learning how to avoid that impulse and turn it around and do something nice instead of something mean. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty accurate.
And what we also saw last year with our one challenge was that our school took it and ran and did an amazing job. So we thought that we would highlight the kindness of our school and present challenges that we could come together as a group on.
And so this is a fifth grade activity, but I imagine it impacts other students in other grades there at Gastineau Community School?
Yes. Yep. Kindergarten through fifth.
Okay, very good. So right now, I'm going to guess to participate formally in the Kindness Crew, you probably need to be a student in fifth grade there, but you could learn more about it. But for the younger students that are going to be in fifth grade soon, fourth graders especially can look forward to it next year. What are your plans when you move on to sixth grade? Do you envision doing more of this sort of thing as you continue to move up through the ranks of school?
Well, I don't really know if they have Kindness Crew in sixth grade, but I probably would do it if they had it.
I know that they are starting a Kindness Crew this year at Floyd Dryden Middle School.
All right, so there's some opportunities there because you don't want to stop being kind just because you moved on to the sixth grade, right?
Yep.
All right, well, Raina, Myla, and Ryan, I want to thank the three of you for being here on behalf of the fifth grade of Gastineau Community Schools. And Brenda Edwards, your principal. Anything else you would like to share with our listeners about Kindness Crew this Juneau afternoon?
I guess we would, our school would like to challenge everyone to do their own acts of kindness instead of randomly, purposely, like you were saying.
All right. Well, consider yourselves challenged, listeners. Go out and be purposefully kind today, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and every day for the rest of your life. All right. Well, thank you again, Brenda, Ryan, Myla, and Raina, for being here on a Juneau afternoon. And best wishes to each and every one of you for a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Bird Note. At this time of year, birds love fat. With a brilliant flash of its copper-red underwings, a flicker sails into the yard. Just behind it wings a stubby-tailed red-breasted nuthatch. Now, a couple of energetic black-capped chickadees dart in. And a downy woodpecker brings up the rear. What a burst of vitality on a chilly November morning. What's the attraction? A cake of suet, suspended from a branch in a small wire feeder. Suet is beef fat, a high-energy food critical for birds' survival in the colder months. With few insects available in winter, suet is an especially strong magnet for birds that eat a lot of bugs in the warmer months. It's also great for birds with bills that are not adapted to opening seeds. Bird feeding suppliers now offer a wide array of processed suet cakes, some studded with berries or seeds. Perhaps a bird's equivalent of a home-baked chocolate chip cookie. Come to our website, birdnote.org, for more on suet feeders. And hurry, because here come the jays. They love suet, too. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
And it's about 52 minutes after the hour. This Tuesday, the 22nd of November, I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juneau afternoon. And I'm delighted to report we have some unanticipated guests to help us round out the hour, and they are from the Yakuska High School German Club, Kelsey Marks and Nolan Hildebrand, and Brian, who's a support staff with the club, is here. So I want to welcome you all to a Juneau afternoon.
Thank you.
And let's hear about, I think it would sound like an upcoming trip to Germany for the members of the German Club. Nolan?
We're just with the German Club, and we're going to talk to you about some fundraising.
All right, and so obviously travel overseas. I was in French Club when I was at Palmer High School, and we had to fundraise aggressively to make it possible for us to go to France, but we did, and it was really a memorable experience that I have treasured the rest of my life. It made me want to go back to Europe. So what's involved with your trip? When's it going to be, and what steps are you taking to make sure you have the resources?
Well, for this weekend, we're doing a fundraiser over at the Gold Belt Hotel parking lot, and...
And what's the fundraiser involving?
Right now we are doing hot chocolate and cider by
by donation.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds it's cold, so people should be coming by for that, I'm sure.
Also, we're doing a raffle of two hotel rooms, two winners, one night stay at the all remodeled Gold Belt Hotel.
That's exciting, too. And if anyone who's been monitoring the progress there, it is definitely turning into a new place inside and out. So that's kind of an exciting opportunity to see what one of those rooms is like in its new remodeled state. Now, if people want to help support the German Club, how would they go about, other than they can come by and get cider or hot chocolate, what are the times on that?
I thought we were doing it to about 12 to 1 to 5.
On Friday, and from 10 to 3 o'clock on Saturday, the 26th. And other ways that they can also donate is on Facebook. Each individual student has a GoFundMe page, and there you could donate however much. It could be from 5 to whatever you want to donate. And in order to get in contact, you have to ask the schools or actually know the children themselves.
All right. Well, that's just kind of a safety measure, I imagine.
Yeah.
But if people want to buy raffle tickets, that anyone can do that, presumably, as long as they can find someone who's selling them. So how would listeners go about finding a raffle ticket seller, other than coming by and getting a cup of hot chocolate?
Yes, we're going to be doing the raffle just during the holiday bazaar. So you come by the booth outside. We'll have a fire pit. We'll have our spiced cider. We'll have our hot cocoa. We'll also have raffle tickets for the two hotel rooms available for $10 each. And so it will be a very good opportunity to score a hotel room, because the only people going to the raffle are those that come by during our Friday and Saturday fundraiser.
All right, so a very targeted opportunity, and if you buy a bunch of tickets, you're almost guaranteed to win or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, and they're $10. They're not your normal $20 tickets, so we will hopefully that will encourage people to buy more than one. And the idea behind this is that, you know, we have the holidays coming up. We have a lot of office parties downtown, and it's a great opportunity to score a hotel room so you can enjoy your party and then not have to worry about driving home later in that night.
Or you have family coming in from out of town.
Exactly.
And need a place
exactly.
To stay.
Excellent. All right, so this is all in support of the German Club, the experiential March trip that's coming up, and it's going to be visiting several cities in Germanic-speaking countries in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. Anything else you would like to share with our listeners on a Juno afternoon?
This all started from our teacher, Ed Becker. He introduced a German club last spring, and we're the only school in the district to have this class. And we're going to have our principal and German teacher both fluent. And this is about...
This is also probably the first time, maybe in the state, that an alternative school has traveled. We're not sure about that, but it's definitely the first time the alternative school in Juneau has traveled abroad. So I got involved because when I was in high school and in college, I did not travel abroad academically. So I really regret not having that opportunity, and I know that can be a life-changing experience for young adults.
Absolutely. As I started off by saying, I have very fond memories of my French club trip to France back when I was at high school, which was a long time ago. So, well, I want to congratulate you all for being part of the German Club and for undertaking this fundraising effort. And again, the chance to go by and buy one of these raffle tickets or get some cider is this Friday from
1 to 5.
And on Saturday?
10 to 3.
Very good. All right. Well, Kelsey, Nolan, and Brian, thank you very much for joining us on a Juno afternoon, and best wishes for a great Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thank you very much.
And it's about 2 minutes before the hour. Thank you so much for listening to a Juno afternoon this Tuesday, the 22nd of November. And the weather forecast is for rain and snow showers continuing tonight, and then tomorrow more scattered rain and snow showers. Going to be partly sunny on Thanksgiving. Something to look forward to. Thanks again for listening to a Juno afternoon.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
President-elect Donald Trump thinks climate change has some connection to human activity.
He defends Steve Bannon.
And says he doesn't want to hurt the Clintons.
More on his meeting at the New York Times from a reporter who was there.
For Tuesday, November 22nd, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Kelly McEvers.
And I'm Audie Cornish. New disclosures from the Trump Foundation show it admitted to self-dealing.
President Obama granted clemency to more than...